I want to read a couple of passages. One of them is from the Old Testament. That's the first part of the Bible, the book of Leviticus. Genesis is the first book. Then you've got Exodus. And then you've got Leviticus. And it's chapter number 14. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. And chapter 14. And verse number 1. This is a kind of background to some of the things that we might be thinking about later on. Leviticus 14. Leviticus 14 and verse number 1. Leviticus 14 verse 1 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall set the living bird loose into the open field." And then, if you have your Bible reading in the New Testament, in the book of Luke's Gospel, so you have Matthew, Mark, and then Luke, and if you find John, you've gone a little too far, but we have Luke and chapter number 5. Luke chapter 5 and verse number 12. "And it came to pass when he," that is the Lord Jesus, "was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face, and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." And we ask for the Lord to give us help tonight as we think about some of these things together. I want to speak to you about this man who had leprosy in Luke chapter 5. And four little things I'd like you to notice together as we think about this man and his leprosy. I'd like you to notice, first of all, what he saw. It says there in verse number 12, "who seeing Jesus fell on his face." Here's a man with all of his problems, and he saw Jesus, what he saw. And secondly, and maybe most importantly, I'd like you to notice the discovery that this man makes and what he says. He makes a tremendous discovery amidst all of the great work that the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Here is a discovery he makes. He says, "Lord, if thou wilt, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." In other words, "Lord, I can see all of the great things that you have done. Lord, I appreciate that you are able to remove demons, you're able to heal the sick, you're able to cleanse people that are defiled with sin, you're even able to raise the dead. But Lord, I appreciate this beyond anything else. You're able to do it for me. You're able to do it for me." And what a tremendous discovery that is. Good to know who Jesus Christ is. Good to see in my heart he is the Son of God. Good to see this book that is here in our hands tonight is there by no chance. Good to say, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, came in the fulfillment of 100 Old Testament prophecies. Good to say that I know I'm too complex just to fall together by evolution. God has made me. Good to say all of that. But that will merely damn you to the darkest and most awful hell. You must personally, individually, put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And here this man makes this great discovery. Lord, I see what you've done for everyone else. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. You can do something for me in my life where I am. Jesus Christ is not just a great historical figure. He's not just the theme of the Bible. He's not just what is preached in the pulpit or the platform of New Covenant Gospel Hall, but he is a real and living Savior. He is present. He's unseen, but he's real and he's living. He's able to change lives. He's able to forgive sin, and he's able to take you to heaven when you die. What about you tonight? Where are you? You're in the Gospel Hall. That's good. But where are you as far as being saved concerned? Now this man, we notice what he saw. He saw Jesus. We notice what he said. And thirdly, we notice what he showed. And we'll come to that in a little minute. But the Lord Jesus says to him, in verse 14, if you have your Bible, he charged him to tell no man but to go and show thyself to the priest. We'll think a little bit about that. And then maybe at the end, if we have a moment, we'll see that he also sacrificed. And there is a special meaning to that too. So what about this man? Verse 12, it says, and it came to pass, when he, that is the Lord Jesus, was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him. Here's a man who saw Jesus. Now, there's one or two things I want to bring into this chapter of the Bible that you maybe wouldn't know just reading this chapter. One of them is of interest to me. And it is the occupation, it's the job that this man Luke had. He had a job. The book of Colossians tells us the job that Luke had. He was a doctor. And it's described in that book as Luke, the beloved physician. He was a doctor. And it's interesting as you go through this book of Luke, that Luke picks up on the problems of people's lives. He picks up on the diseases and the disappointments and the discouragement. He picks up on all of the brokenness of people's lives. And here, if you have your Bible, I point it out again. It says, behold, a man full of leprosy. A man full of leprosy. What does that mean? It means here was a bad case. Here was a bad case. You know, a doctor once played a trick on me when I was in Africa, in Zambia. He had a busy outpatients clinic, and I was just a student. And he said, I want you to go and examine that man over there. And I went over and examined it. And he had a wee kind of patch in the back of his skin. I thought it was eczema or psoriasis. And I was getting in about it and having a wee look and poking it. And he said, what do you think it is? Well, I says, I don't know, maybe a wee bit of eczema, a wee bit. He says, it's leprosy. I says, woo, leprosy. He says, it's leprosy, leprosy. Yeah. This case, even I could have diagnosed this case. It was full of leprosy. This was an advanced case of leprosy. Now, Luke is interesting in this book because he picks out all of the cases that nobody else could do anything for. You'll read later on in chapter number 9, you'll read about a man there in chapter 9. He's a man of the Gadarenes. He's a man who's demon-possessed. And it says about this man who was demon-possessed, it says, oftentimes it had caught him, he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, he broke the bands and was driven of the devil. Here's a man the Lord Jesus Christ is going to deal with. He's demon-possessed, and they get the penal system on board. They get the jail system, if you like. They get the police system on board, and they chain him. It doesn't control them. That doesn't help them. The police, the law, throwing the book at this man does not help him. It won't change him. And then Luke tells us about a woman. She has an issue of blood. She's bleeding for 12 years. Listen to what Luke says about her. Verse 43 of Luke 9. A woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. You see, the Lord never picks anything easy, does he? A man that the penal system could do nothing with. Here's a woman that doctors could do nothing with. She had spent everything she had, 12 years, got none better. Matthew, the friend of Luke, tells us that she actually got worse. But Luke misses that bit out. The Lord is able to deal with her in her need. And then a little later on in Luke's Gospel, you read about a young girl and she's at the point of death and her father comes, Jairus is his name, and he comes to bring the Lord Jesus to heal his little girl, and then news comes. Listen to the news that comes. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master." Nobody can do anything for this girl now, she's dead, too late. But the Lord will come into that house and he will deal with the dead girl in the same way as he deals with a man possessed of demons, the same way he deals with the woman with the issue of blood 12 years, where nobody else is able to deal with a problem. In comes the person of Christ. He deals with it. And so in Luke chapter 5, what a wonderful thing it was that this man, full of leprosy, he sees Jesus. Maybe your problems are so great that there is nothing that anybody can do for you. Maybe your problems are so great that there's nothing you can do for yourself. Maybe even religion can't do anything for you. You know, one of the first men that the Lord Jesus meets in the previous chapter, Luke 4, is a man with a demon and he's in a synagogue. As I say, what's a synagogue? A synagogue to the Jewish equivalent of a church building. In other words, there's a man, demon-possessed, he's amongst the religion. He's in the religious place and it can't help him. You say, where do you go? If religion can't help, and if the cops can't help, and if the police can't help, or if the doctors can't help, who do you go to? And it says here, "And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus," he saw Jesus. Jesus is able to deal with the problem. Not only did he see him, but you notice what he said. Here is a great discovery that this man made. It says that he, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Now we mustn't miss this. This is really important. You could agree with everything I've said so far, but we would be no further closer to getting saved and further closer to heaven. This man has a good look around him and he sees what the Lord Jesus Christ has been doing. He sees that in the previous chapter he's dealt with a man possessed with demons. He sees that he's been dealing with the crowds. He sees that he's been healing the sick. That's interesting. And he thinks a bit about it. Here's a man that is able to heal the sick. And he's able to cast out demons. Maybe he can do something for me. And so he says to the Lord Jesus, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Lord, I want to take a step of faith here. I want to move forward in faith on this one. Lord, if you can do what you've done for all of these other people, you can do something in my life. Lord, I don't want just to be sitting back here in a gospel hall. I don't want to be sitting back here in my home just nodding my head. God doesn't want you to make an assessment of Jesus Christ. He wants you to make an investment in Jesus Christ. God doesn't just want you to look back and to come to some kind of opinion about Jesus and the Bible. He doesn't want you to come to some kind of opinion that Jesus Christ is real and that Jesus Christ is going to judge the world and that what this book says is right and that you're a sinner. He wants you to take your life. And he wants you to give your life to Jesus Christ. And he wants you to cry to Jesus Christ, 'Lord, save me.' And to put your trust in him." That's what he's looking for. You'll find that a few verses on, there are a whole lot of folk and they miss the total point. Verse 17. The next day, it seems, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. And they were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Do you know not one of them got healed? Not one of them, of those Pharisees. Not one of those doctors of the law. Not one of those men that sat judging Christ. That sat as his critic. Not one of them was touched by his power. They knew the Bible, they knew the book, they knew the prophecies. They could tell you where Jesus Christ of Nazareth ought to be born, where Messiah ought to be born. He should be born in Bethlehem. They could tell you what kind of death Messiah would die. He would die on the cross, for David had said that in the Psalms. They could tell you that the very wounds that would be in the hands and the feet of Messiah, the Son of God, his hands and his feet would be pierced. Zechariah would tell them that. They could tell you all of those things, and they were utterly lost. Utterly lost. Why? Because they sat there with opinions. They were his critics. God doesn't look for critics. He's not looking for me to have an opinion about Christ. He's wanting me to put my trust in him. And so, here's a man. And he's going to take a step of faith on this one. Lord, I do believe that you cleansed the leper. I do believe that you got rid of the demon. I do believe that you made people better, made people well. I want to take this step of faith. Lord, will you do it for me? Will you do it for me? Lord, I know I'm a sinner because your book tells me I'm a sinner. Lord, I know I'm lost because your book says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Lord, I know that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I know that God is going to judge me. My boys took me to ancient Egypt on Saturday. Took me back 2,500 years. I think they thought it was my era, you know. We went along to Glasgow and into the Kelvin Grove Art Gallery. It's a long time since I've been there. And they had a really good exhibition on ancient Egypt. I noticed one of the displays was about the afterlife as far as the Egyptians saw it. I was very interested to see that the Egyptians realised this, they were going to meet God. And I was interested to see that the Egyptians knew that if they were found to have sin in their heart, they would be lost forever. Aye, they weren't totally silly, the Egyptians, were they? You ever saw those pictures of the scarab beetle, the big black scarab beetle? Maybe you've seen them on those television programmes about the ancient Egyptians. They thought that maybe when it came to meeting God, they could get the shell of a big black scarab beetle and put it over their heart so God couldn't see their sin. That's why there were so many scarab beetles about the tombs. They knew they were a sinner. They thought maybe they could deceive God into believing that there wasn't any sin there. We won't hoodwink God. If I know I'm a sinner, God knows I'm a sinner. If I know about the sin I've committed, God knows about the sin I've committed. We will not hoodwink God. Our very hearts are open before the eyes of God, says the Bible. God is a God who knows all things. And he's a God before whom one day I'll stand and he'll judge me. And if I'm a sinner, if I don't have Christ as my Lord and Saviour, I'll be lost forever. And here's a man, and he sees his need, and he comes to Christ. Lord, I want to take a step of faith tonight. Lord, if you will, you're able to make me clean. You're able to cleanse me. The Lord is able to cleanse you of your sin tonight. The Lord is able to forgive your sin. The Lord is able to take all of that sin in your life and forgive it because he died on the cross at Calvary for your sin. He offered himself as a sacrifice for sin. This is what the religions of the world lack. They lack any means of dealing with my sin. Hinduism lacks a means of taking away my sin. It tells me just to think about it, to meditate about it, to cross my legs and focus my eyes. Maybe let out a little hum, and all my sins will go away. Nonsense. But Christ is able to take away my sin because he died for my sin. He was a sacrifice for my sin on the cross of Calvary. Here's what Peter says. Christ has once suffered for sin, the just, for we the unjust, that he might bring me to God. And so this man, he comes to the Saviour, and he falls on his face, and it says he besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. What he saw and what he said, and look down there with me at verse 14, you look at what he showed. And verse 14 says, and he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Here's a man, and he's been cleansed. Here's a man, and the Lord Jesus Christ has done a work in his life. Maybe the same kind of work that the Lord Jesus Christ could do in your heart and your life tonight, if you'll come to him, if you'll open up your heart and your life, if you'll invite him in as your Lord and Saviour, if you'll believe that he died on the cross for your sins, he can do that same kind of work. Here is a man, and the Lord Jesus Christ has done a work in his heart. And you notice what he does. The Lord Jesus tells him, I want you to go to the priest. Go to the priest. You say, why? Why go to the priest? Well, the priest had a big long list, a list as long as your arm. A big long list of things to look for to see if someone had been cleansed of the leprosy. And he had a list of things like the colour of your skin, or the colour of the hair on the skin, or whether or not there was a lump. And he was able to examine and to check your skin to see if you were free of leprosy. You see, this was a man, and he put his trust in Christ, and Christ had done a work in his life, and now he was going off, and he was going to be examined. We in our house, we get through an awful lot of sticking plasters. The boys will come to me, and they'll say, Daddy, you want to see my sore bit? And they'll come up and they'll show you the sore bit, and you put on your specs, you know, and you can just about make out a thing as tiny as a pinhead usually, and that's a sore bit. So I go in the cupboard and we take out a plaster, and over the sore bit we put a plaster. And then usually we say, is that at all better now? And they're quite happy, and that's at all better. Of course, it's not all better at all. Not that there was anything wrong with the first place right now. But it's not all better at all, because if you take the sticking plaster off there, it's still there, isn't it? But it's covered up. Can't see it anymore. When the Lord does a work in a person's life, it's not a sticking plaster job. It's not just a covering up of the sore bit. But when Christ does a work in our lives, he does a work that stands up to scrutiny. It stands up to close examination. And here's a man, and he says, the Lord has done a work in my life. Well, says the Lord, I won't get it checked. We can get it scrutinized. I won't take it to the priest, the man with that big, long list of things to look for. And he'll have a look at your skin. Is it clean? Is it white? You'll have a look at the hair. Is the hair there? He'll maybe send you away for 7 days, quarantine, bring you back for 7 days. And he'll examine you. You see, don't tell me that God has done a mighty work in your life if you're still living the old life. That's it, isn't it? Don't tell me that Jesus Christ is part and parcel of your life, that he's changed your life, that he's your Lord and Saviour, and you're still doing the old things, the old sin. Christ doesn't believe it, I don't believe it, the Bible doesn't believe it, God doesn't believe it. Just deceiving yourself. When Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the God that holds this universe together, comes into my life and changes it, he makes a difference. The Bible puts it like this, that if any man is in Christ Jesus, behold, old things are passed away, and all things are made new. I say again, I'm not preaching religion. You want religion, you go to Luke 4, you go to the synagogue. There's a man demon-possessed, he's in the synagogue, he's got religion all around him, it doesn't do him any good. What we're looking at here is the power of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, to forgive my sin and come in and change my life. And so he says, you know, go to the priest, get examined. This is real. This will stand up to close scrutiny, because God has done a mighty work in your life. What he saw and what he said and what he showed, and fourthly, verse 14 of Luke 5. Tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. He had to do a fourth thing. He had to offer a sacrifice. What was that all about? Well, that's why we read in Leviticus 14 at the beginning of our meeting tonight, we read about the sacrifice that a man would offer who had been cured of his leprosy. You see, all of this talk about being cured and forgiven and cleansed, it comes at a cost. It comes at a price. And when the leper was cleansed, he had to do something. He had to go to the priest, and the priest was to take two birds. One bird was living, and the other bird was to be killed. Verse 6 of Leviticus 14 says this: as for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them, and the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. Which bird would you rather be? Two birds. One of those little birds is taken and it's killed. The blood is sprinkled on the leper. And the blood is put upon the living bird and it is released. Look at those words of Leviticus 14 and 7. And shall let the living bird loose into the open field. But as that little bird goes loose into the open field, it goes stained with the blood of another bird. You see, one little bird has died, that another bird might go free, and blood has been shed. Well, that man could have his leprosy cleansed, but there was a cost. Shed blood was the cost. Appreciate you being cleansed, says the Lord Jesus, but I want to teach you something. That cleansing is not cheap. That sin does not go away just by praying about it, or just by being sorry about it. But sin is taken away by shed blood. The one that was teaching him the lesson is the one that would die for his sin. The one that would shed his blood. The one who would hang there on the cross at Calvary with hands and feet pierced. The one whose head would have a crown of thorns upon it. The one whose back, the prophet said, would be like a ploughed field as they took their whips and lashed it on their back and drew the skin and the fat and the muscle tissue off of his body and then hung him up between earth and heaven. And there, says the Bible, he who knew no sin was made sin for us. How can I be free? I can only be free because of his blood. I suppose in preaching that I can be forgiven and I can be changed, or you see, there might just be the sort of that accusation as to the effect that that's all very nice, and that's all very simple, and that's an easy way out. This is no easy way out. This is God, the God that sees my sin, taking my sin and putting my sin upon his own son, and having his son punished for my sin. And there in Leviticus 14 and 7, that little bird, it is let loose into the open field, a bit like that man that we read about in Luke's Gospel. A new life. Leprosy. Gone. And there he is. He goes up to the priest. And he's going up there to offer a sacrifice. And I like what the Lord says. I want you to go up to that priest and I want you to offer a sacrifice as a testimony unto them. What's that about? Now you can see them, you know. Where's Shug? I don't think anymore Shug actually. He's up at the temple.
He's going to be up at the temple. He's a leper. He's not allowed in the temple. Lepers aren't allowed in the temple. Up at the temple. What are you doing up at the temple? He's been cleansed of his leprosy.
Nobody's been cleansed of leprosy, they would say. Never happened. Can't happen.
There are certain things can't be done. You can't raise the dead. You can't give eyes back to somebody that was born blind. And you can't cleanse leprosy. And there he is. What's he doing? He's there in the temple where he shouldn't have been. He's there in the temple offering up a sacrifice as a testimony to say to everybody, everybody that said Jesus Christ couldn't do that. He's there.
Because Jesus Christ had just done that. And there he is, and he's been examined. And you can see the priest, you know. Priests on the whole didn't take kindly to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. They didn't like him. In fact, they were responsible for his crucifixion. Then they were faced with the evidence. No leprosy. Gone. Absolutely clean. Here was a man full of leprosy. And so you can see them, can't you? Begrudgingly. Taking these two birds. And killing the one and sprinkling it on the leper and sprinkling it upon the living bird. And it's a testimony to everyone who said it couldn't be done. Because Jesus Christ can do it. He can. Before he can do it, you must take a step of faith, because God treats you like an adult. God treats you like an adult. God won't force you to believe. God won't force you to repent. God won't force you to accept Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Lord Jesus says this, in fact, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. God offers you the kind of respect that you think you ought to have, so that you can never say, well, I'm in hell, it was God's fault. Not God's fault. Not God's fault. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Lord, you can do this for me, said the leper. You can do it for me. And he put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and what a mighty work was done in that man's life. Shall we pray? Our Father, we come into thy presence. We thank thee for Christ. We thank thee, our Father, for a leper who saw the only one who was able to deal with his problem. And we thank thee, our Father, for a leper who was able just to put that faith and trust in Christ, the one who was able to cleanse and to purify him. We thank thee, our Father, for a mighty work of Christ in a man's life that is able to stand up to scrutiny and close examination. Oh, and we thank thee, our Father, for that which the Lord can do that no one else can do. Lives changed, sins forgiven. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are made in you. We thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the power that is there in thy Son. Oh, our Father, give us the faith that we might move forward in trusting in him. We think, our Father, of the simple prayer of one of old, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Oh, our Father, we pray that thou would take away all doubts and all fears. And let us rest, our Father, in simple trusting faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do offer thanks now for him. Pray for a blessing upon the word as we offer thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Maybe a verse of a hymn, John, will we? Maybe we'll just have a verse of a hymn before we close. Hymn number 237, just the first and the third verse of 237. We'll just keep our seats. 237, O come, sinner, come, 'tis mercy's call, here at Jesus' feet. O come, unrepenting, lay thy all down at Jesus' feet. O lay it down, lay it down, lay thy weary burden down. O lay it down, down at Jesus' feet. We'll just keep our seats and sing the first and third verse of 237.